I've been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life, and we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
And we're back for another hashtag Metal Edge podcast. This is a very special podcast because on Monday, special session starts at 4 p.m. It is a technical session. But this is something I've been wanting to do for a while. Here on the podcast today, we have Ben, Becky, and myself, but we also have Travis.
Hello.
Our other reporter here at the Missouri Times. So I'm very excited that it's just us and you. But first off, I would like to thank our sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. They make this possible for this to be heard by you right now. So first things first, special session.
Let's get into the special session. I've never done a special. I've never been around for a special. I assume it's much like a regular session, but how...
It's extra special.
It's extra special. So
extraordinary.
Walk me through. So a new bill's filed. They go into a technical on Monday.
Yes.
Committees... Tuesday. So legislators, and we're talking just the House, right? So the process of a special is it'll go through one side of the chamber and the other as a means to be more efficient and cut down on spending and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And so the House goes in Wednesday. The House, I mean, this is going to take all of, what, 30 minutes in the House?
Yeah.
It had one no vote. On Roan's amendment?
It was two.
Yeah.
Two?
Something
okay.
like that.
So I think...
There might be some contention there.
Yeah.
Two no votes.
So this will be in and out. So these guys are going to have one day of special session?
Yeah, what refs have been telling me is that they plan to come in. Those in St. Louis will be leaving St. Louis at 7 o'clock in the morning, coming down to Jefferson City, taking a vote basically as soon as they get here, and then sending it over to the Senate, where they have a lot of speculation as to what might go down. Some have said they might gavel in and out. Some said they might have a lot of contention.
So
I don't know.
So if the bill goes over to the Senate, let's say a change is made, then they can send that. Does it just keep? Do you keep throwing it back and forth between both chambers until you come to a bill that everyone can agree to?
Schoolhouse Rock style.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, and then it goes to the governor's desk, right? So I mean, this could, in theory, it's up to 60 days.
Yep.
Not Fridays though. Is it still Monday through Thursday?
I believe so. We have to take five days
to pass
any bill.
For any
bill. So I believe it is pre-filed today. I haven't seen it yet.
So is this so day one? It's pre-filed, but it's pre-filing day one?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the day it's filed is the...
Okay. Pre-filing and then technical is the second day. Committees. It has to go through committees in the Senate. So really, if you took a day for each step, you're at 5 days anyway.
Yeah.
Which you need to do, Constitution, right?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
So I'm pretty excited about this, especially because social media has been on fire. I know the two gentlemen to my right and left have been sending me a lot of screen caps. We have some snark in the House and some rage in the Senate.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
Senator Rob Schaaf has definitely had a few opinions. About the
does
bill.
He? He's always usually so quiet.
Yeah,
when it comes to
not really an outspoken member of the Senate, I don't think.
And you know, I think it's really interesting because Rob Schaaf is from St. Joseph, which is just northwest of Kansas City, right on the river, and he's been around for several special session votes, several special session and regular session votes that have approved tax credits for regional projects. And I did not witness opinions like he's been throwing down lately. Do you think Rob Schaaf has come into his element lately?
Well, how much of this do you think, and I'm not speaking specifically for Senator Schaaf, but for a lot of legislators, is that there's personal issues invested now, and it really makes you, can it make a person not as willing to want to compromise, not as willing to negotiate? I think that's why personal relationships are so important in the building, is because if you've burned me and I've burned you and we don't like each other, then why on earth am I going to try to do anything that would make your life easier?
Yeah, and I think you're seeing that in the Senate specifically, because the three senators who have mainly been against some of these rate-making changes, which was kind of one of the bills that Don Roan's amendment was attached on to, with Senator Leibla and Senator Romine, you got the impression that, you know, they had legitimate grief about whether or not Ameren was going to have too much authority to do those rate-making changes, right? But with Schaaf, it definitely seems, at least on social media in the last couple of days, where he is kind of addressing sort of these allegations of collusion and corruption between Governor Greitens calling a special session and Ameren giving him, I think, around $175,000 in campaign donations, some figure like that. So I think that Becky's absolutely right that it's about personal relationships in that case, where Schaaf is definitely using those dark money ads that were thrown against him and now apparently are being used against Doug Leibla in southeast Missouri.
He's having robocalls
to his district.
But I think it's so funny whenever there's senators like Senator Schaaf who are pointing out that, you know, Ameren has been getting donations, but let's not forget about the hundreds of other companies and constituents who also made donations as big or bigger than Ameren.
To every senator and every legislator, right? I mean, you could look at any single person in, if you want to find a problem with someone, you can find that problem. That's not hard
to do.
You
can definitely cherry pick someone. And
absolutely.
You can cherry pick off, honestly.
Maybe some people are validated in their frustrations, and maybe they aren't, but either way, from their perspective, that they feel like they've been wronged in a way that makes them want to make life very difficult for those that have kind of come after them. And that's, I think, what you're seeing here. It's politics on crack.
I will say that I have definitely never heard of there being a robocalls targeted at a senator right before a special session. And based on the last time there were robocalls down to southeast Missouri, I don't see
I was going to say, does that help?
I don't think it's going to change Senator Leibla's opinions.
No.
If anything, it's going to make him angrier.
Well, make
me angrier.
The thing with Senator Leibla is that he has been of this mindset since before we entered this session. He has not changed his opinion on any of these utility bills. He has stood by his argument each time. So I don't know exactly what would change Senator Leibla's mind right now.
He is nothing if not consistent.
I don't
his
think
constituents knew exactly what they voted for whenever they voted him into the Senate.
I don't think the actual call really does a whole ton of good for people who want to see this passed or trying to convince Romine and Leibla and Schaaf that this isn't about rate making, this is just about the steel mill, because that second section in the call gives what seems like a lot of leeway to be able to make broader changes than just giving a special rate to the steel mill or
absolutely.
The aluminum
and those
smelter.
Are changes that legislators have been and utility makers and all that jazz have been pushing for many, many sessions.
Well, I think that's nothing another new. Point here is the proclamation that went out to call everyone in special session. You know, I was talking with people the other day, and a lot of them look at that and say, well, there's two separate provisions in there. The first one would probably establish what you're trying to do down in southeast Missouri. The second one, you could probably accomplish what you said you're going to do with just the first. So there's some argument there as to why the second part of it's even needed.
Well, so there you have it. Special session starts Monday, technically Monday at 4 o'clock. We expect the legislators to be back on Wednesday. If you don't know when you should come in, I would recommend Wednesday, unless you want to see Representative Jay Barnes' Rules Committee throw down on Tuesday, which I always recommend. So something Becky and I had talked about that we wanted to talk about was on Monday, I had a very special Whispering Gallery email for all of those who aren't subscribers. Every day, me, Rachel Herndon Dunn, the editor of the Missouri Times, sends out an email, and it's called the Whispering Gallery, throwing back to the actual Whispering Gallery in the Capitol. And it's got rumors, it's got fun stuff, it's got stories to look for. It's got stuff that isn't quite stories, but good information to know. But on Monday, I did something fun. I have been accepting superlatives from those Capitol insiders for a few weeks now. And we've got a few ones. My personal favorite is the nomination that Representative Nick Schorr is the best Civil War reenactor.
Do you just want me to jump in here on this one, or how?
Absolutely.
I will go ahead and admit that I was the one that thought that was probably the best superlative to throw out there. And it's just because I think Nick Schroer, if we put him into a Civil War uniform, he just has the right look for him, and he just looks ready to fight anytime.
He would fit in, like... alongside, right alongside like Ulysses S. Grant.
Right.
And it's all in the beard. It really is. All
like
in
if
the
you
beard.
Black and white in his photo and put it on like an 1837 composite.
Right.
It's fine.
Maybe Nick probably isn't a name from back, but if you changed it to something else,
well,
you wouldn't
just
even
change it to, you know, maybe General Nicholas Schroer.
Yes, right, exactly.
I don't know if he'd be a general.
Colonel.
Yet.
Let's
yeah,
go Colonel. Colonel Nicholas Schroer.
So
actually,
we decided he is definitely in the Army branch of the Civil War.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't feel like he's particularly a Navy kind of guy. I feel like
I mean, it is Missouri.
Yeah. Right.
Let's be fair.
We do have a Coast Guard.
I will say some of my other ones, and I did not write these. These were submissions. And I'm going to pair them. It was Best Written Word and Best Nickname. Best Written Word was nominated for Senator Ryan Silvey, and it throws back to Best Nickname because Senator Silvey called Speaker Pro Tem, or not Speaker Pro Tem.
President Pro Tem.
I'm very tired. Ron Richard Ronnie. And he actually wrote out in the letter, Senator Richard, scratched it out by hand, and wrote Ronnie over it. And I think that's going to be something that only legends are made of at one point in time. So hopefully in 50 years, people are going through the podcast archives and listen to this and remember these good old days.
What if down the line, that's how he's remembered? Instead of Ron Richard, it's Ronnie
Richard.
I don't think that's going to happen, Ben.
But it is funny to think down the line. There are so many historical documents that the legislators of the future will have to reference.
Everything.
What the hell are they going to think of us? all of our tweets? The hashtag MoLedge podcast tweets from 2017.
Oh, they're going to be so confused when they get to my seersucker tweets.
So I have to tell you, one of my personal favorites was Caleb Browden's retort of sure. So Caleb Browden's obviously a freshman senator, and I think he had a great year. He really kind of carved out a name for himself. He got a ton of time on the dais, and he really went toe-to-toe with Senator Schaaf, who at the time was, you know, I think everyone was afraid to do what he did.
I heard a lot of people call him the bear, and that you're not supposed to poke the bear.
Yes,
and
I agree.
And he was poked this year.
I agree. So my husband and I have an inside joke in our house now, which is, so I'll say, the dishes need to be unloaded. Are you ready to accept that? And then he says, sure. Whatever it is. The grass needs to be cut. Are you ready to accept that?
Sure.
I called for order with my dogs today.
Right.
And it works a lot better than I would.
It's sad when your family members know inside political jokes and the things that we think are so funny aren't really funny. You know, it's the end of session.
I think a good runner-up for that, I know that we have Doug Leibler's You Betcha was good, but I think Senator Paul Whelan's What Are You Gonna Do Waterboard Me should also be up there.
That was
savage.
Gold.
Whenever that entire like drama was going on over the pay raise, I think that needs to also be mentioned as a pretty good retort. Because that is also now an inside joke of most means.
I will say, before we forget, there's a lot of snarky superlatives on this list, and it's a great way to recap the session. But there are a lot of very hardworking people in that building.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they don't get acknowledgement. I would like to go ahead and we got a nomination for Best House Staffer as Chris Dunn. He's been around for several sessions, very knowledgeable, also very involved in the Jefferson City community, which has been awesome to have someone actually appears normal. Whenever you run into them at the grocery store, it's okay. And the runner-up I have is Shanna Beasley. She works for Representatives Rimley and Peitzman. She is that L.A. who would go out at the very end of a limb to make sure everyone and anyone is happy. And it's people like her that make the Capitol nice. Hmm. And there's also some up-and-comers that we nominated, that were nominated. We got Philip Arnson in Representative Haar's office and Eric Harmon in Representative Fitzpatrick's office.
Fitzwater's office. There's a lot of Fitzies that are confusing.
Oh,
you have to clarify. It's so annoying to have to finish the end of three different people's names.
But those are two gentlemen who have definitely made a splash. They've walked in competent and stayed competent, and that's impressive. On the Senate side, there is a Senate staffer in Senator Munsinger's office. Her name is Pat Thomas. She has been a queen when it comes to being a Senate staffer.
So well respected. A wealth of information.
Absolutely.
I don't know anyone that doesn't think very highly of her.
Yes. And she's got that institutional knowledge that is
needed. A lot of people don't have.
Yes. And then there's a runner-up. We have Tekla Spainhauer over in Senator Onder's office. Mm-hmm. She has been with him since he came in. She is basically the Shanna of the Senate. She's always there. She has everything you need. If you have a headache, she has Advil. If you have
I got to work with her on Uber. Obviously, Senator Onder carried our Uber legislation on the upper chamber, and I got to work with her and Senator Onder's new chief of staff, Ryan Nonamaker. And I think this session, one of my big takeaways was how impressive staffers are in the building. And they don't get the tweets, you know, they don't get the attention, they don't get the quotes in the newspaper, but they are the ones that are with their bosses at 1 a.m. and then back at 7 a.m. They're up late, they're getting food runs, they're doing whatever they can to help their bosses move legislation forward in a way that they think helps Missouri. And they don't get enough credit. And it's been fun to get to know some really good staffers this year.
Absolutely. For the Senate, the up-and-comer that we have was actually going to be on the TV show on Sunday. Her name is Hannah Beers. She is Senator Ryan Silvey's communications director. It's her first year in the Senate. She's made a splash. She's built a network very quickly. And
she's been
impressive.
She's a rock star.
She's young, but she's a rock star. And she's got that tact that a lot of good old boys like to say our generation doesn't have. And I've been very impressed with her. She's very smart, very graceful, which is something that the Capitol sometimes lacks. Anyway, good segue for more snarky things. We have the most patriotic staffer as Ryan Clearwater. He works for Representative Kirkman and Barnes. This is a man who not only served our country and has been in the service, but he also has a suit made of the stars and stripes, and he does not wear it sarcastically.
One of his bosses is Paul Kirkman, right? So I think patriotism is like check the box. That's the first question on the interview, right?
There is no.
How much do you love your country?
Do you have a patriotic suit, and do you wear it genuinely?
How do you feel about the Constitution as a living document?
Oh, anything less than a 10 out of 10 on those, and you're not going to get hired.
And, you know, one of my favorite ones to get was you get to know a lot of people, and sometimes you get to know them so well you can hear them and smell them, and you know if they're coming.
What?
No.
That might sound weird.
Sound weird.
That's very odd.
Best laugh went to Noel Torpy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not weird, guys. Thank you.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
But whenever you said smell, that automatically kind of.
There's some identifiable colognes. Okay. They really are. It's kind of
funny. All right, I guess.
I don't think that I know.
There's a few for me.
And, you know, there's other ways to identify people. Like, Chris Moody, he works over at State House Strategies. He wears a backpack because he's probably smarter than all of us. And I should probably also wear a backpack as...
I wear a backpack.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
You know, Travis... You need to carry your stuff around somehow. I mean...
Well, Travis and I are packing quite a bit of gear. I don't know if anyone's noticed.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking.
So I have to give a shout. So best Twitter is obviously Jeff Major. Like there was no second.
He's hilarious.
He is hysterical. Even if you don't agree with him, you still almost want to give his tweet a like and a retweet because he's so funny. And in person, he is so polite. He's so respectful. I think very highly of Jeff Major, and his Twitter personality compared to his in-person personality is a funny contrast to me. Granted, I've never had the opportunity to have a beer with Jeff Major, but
it's fun.
He's very he's an awesome guy, and his Twitter's hysterical, and I'm very grateful for
speaking
for him,
of Jeff, his better half, Mindy Mazur, also made the list because she is the most photogenic guest we have on the TV show, and it's always an honor to produce that show.
That's quite a power couple.
Oh my god,
Twitter and most photogenic.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I can imagine what they're trying to accomplish.
Crushed it. They have twin daughters. I know
horrible.
They're gonna kill it. Those are good genes.
It'll
in those
be funny
babies.
If they're Republicans.
I don't think the Majors will think that's very funny. I don't think they'll think that's very funny.
Well, since we just brought up power couples, should we go ahead and address who we gave the award for cutest couple to?
Cutest couple, most definitely representative.
So I have to confess, I submitted this one. I submitted this one, and I will own it. Representatives Rocky Miller and Sean Rhodes, we had them on the podcast. There are pictures of them dressed in identical outfits down to the tie that they did not plan.
Less than an hour after this email went out, I received three different pictures of them together.
Their romance, it warms my heart. I mean, if everyone in the Capitol had a bromance like Sean Rhodes and Rocky Miller, the Missouri legislature would be a well-oiled machine. I have to say, and so I have a funny story. So Representative Hannah Kelly had gone down by, under the bridge by where the water was to get a great view of the Capitol. And I guess Representative Miller and Rhodes were turkey hunting or something over there. And so then they came out and they said, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "Well, what are you guys doing here?" The two of them were just kind of hanging out.
They're just turkey hunting.
I think.
Is that a thing people do?
I think they were turkey hunting, and they can call me out on Twitter if I'm wrong, but it was just funny because they have a bromance, and I'm sure they're in matching camo or something like that. If you wear camo to turkey hunt, I don't know.
You do.
Okay. Good. Well, then I'm sure they were dressed like that. No, they are tons of fun, and it's fun seeing people who like to work together.
Yeah. Speaking of people that work together in some way, shape, or form, there's another married couple on this list that are separate nominations. One was for the best accessory because Brent Hemphill has started rocking a monocle.
Really?
I didn't notice that.
It's on the list.
I know, but I didn't notice. I saw that and I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't talk. Why?
I didn't read it that carefully.
Do you know?
I feel like that's a question you don't ask. I don't know. I don't ask that one.
Well,
that's okay with me. I like it. It's classic. It's a throwback to a better time, maybe.
Cool. I'm into it.
Yeah.
And then poor Deanna Hemphill was hobbling around. That is dedication by a lobbyist. And then at the end, she had the scooter that you set your knee on, and which is brilliant.
You know, when I broke my foot, I wanted one of those so bad, and my then-fiancé, now-husband, was just like, no, Rachel, you're better than that. But no, she was
no, she was a champion. She was hobbling around and whipping people. And, you know, the new rule is that you pull people from you give the doorman the card at the side on the house side, and then you have to go to the rotunda where they meet you.
Oh.
That's a new thing.
Do you feel oppressed?
No, not at all. But if I was Deanna Hemphill, I would be like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand right here and I'm going to make people come out.
I feel like at that point you have to get the doorman's, you got to get his cell phone number, send him a text.
Well, the doorman have to like you. And if you got to lay the groundwork for that all session long. You got to be friendly to the doorman. That's a crucially huge a piece of being a lobbyist. You're not a good lobbyist if the doorman don't like you very much.
You know, speaking of lobbyists, someone nominated Denton's as the best lobbyist A-team. They now have Kate Cassis. She's a rock star. Brian Grace has been a rock star.
Well, Kate solely brought them to A-Team. Let's be real.
Oh. I did not say that.
I've gotten to work with Kate, obviously, on the TNCville this year. And, you know, it's fun having strong, awesome chicks in the building that are movers and shakers and big players in politics. It's pretty cool.
They're absolutely relentless.
She's an impressive woman.
I always forget, like, whenever you see Brian Grace, who works for Denton, it's like, you don't see someone who's old. You see a young guy who's fresh, who still has energy. And it's amazing, because he's been in the building since he was 19 years old. When I was 19, I was maybe going to class.
So Brian actually told me this story, and he'll laugh that I remember this, but he was talking about why he became a lobbyist, and he said one of his friends, when he was a kid at school, their dad was a lobbyist, and his dad, like, you know, had a nice life and was doing cool stuff, and Brian's like, that's what I'm going to do. So then he went and did that. I was like, I love it. Brian, you know, set your sights on something and go do it. You got to go do it. So I need some context on this. Sleepiest staffer is Steele Shippey. I have no idea why.
Steelius
Shippey.
Well, his name is Steele.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, I struggled with that because I
don't get that.
A lover of a good pun. I love puns.
Oh, Steelius.
Literally Steel.
I thought it was sleepiest. Got it.
It might say that.
I'm going to walk back. No.
Viciously.
I'm going to walk back on that. No, I was wrong.
Yeah,
I was wrong.
Steelius because he is Steel. That sounded weird.
So.
Anyway, speaking of best hair... Mike Searpoy, I say this ironically because he shaved his head whenever he lost a bet at the Republican caucus party that they have every year. So the last few weeks of session, he was feeling a breeze up north.
You know, I didn't, as a lobbyist, I'm in the upper gallery a lot, I'm sure you guys are too, so you get a bird's eye view, and it didn't take long for it to kind of start growing back. I mean, it didn't.
No.
It was in probably a week and a half where it was kind of like, you can't really tell anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the picture, but... our lovely majority floor leader, who is my hometown state rep, he had a rockin' caterpillar mustache through most of the 80s and 90s. And whenever I saw how fast his hair was growing back, which I too observed, I really hoped that maybe he would just go ahead and grow back the caterpillar too. Nothing. Okay.
Who are you talking about?
Mike Searpoy had a caterpillar mustache.
Caterpillar.
So I sort of like everybody did. I feel like that was a thing.
Let's bring
in
the 80s,
maybe.
My dad had a great mustache back in the day. Like classic mustache.
Did we have a best mustache?
But who should it be?
Oh, Mike Moon.
Mike Moon.
There's not even a
Mike
question.
Moon.
Okay.
There are a few good mustaches, though.
Maybe Libla.
I was going to say Senator Libla.
Has their own Twitter account.
Senator Libla.
What? Wow. You know, speaking of people who both have something, we have some doppelgangers. But there was one doppelganger that two look-alike people who just really transcend, and there's been an ongoing joke in the Capitol because they look so much alike. So I went ahead and renamed that superlative, and it's most likely to be cast in a hashtag Mo Ledge parent trap movie. And that is our Attorney General Josh Hawley and Brian Grace.
Yeah, okay. All
right. Everybody who's listening right now needs to find time to have Brian Grace tell them all the stories of him being confused by Josh Hawley. He was asked to be the keynote speaker at a Lincoln Days.
He's been taking lots of pictures.
And because Brian thinks he's so great, it took him a second to realize that they did, well, they weren't asking him.
Yeah.
He was asked, there's people that have been, will introduce their clients to him and say, this is Attorney General Josh Hawley.
Yes.
Well, my question is, do you own it and go with it whenever that happens?
So I think it depends on who it is and it depends on the circumstances. Sometimes it's just easier to be like, hi, bye, I'm not going to embarrass you. And if you're doing it, it's the third time. Just gonna roll with it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the joke at Catalyst is we're gonna pay Brian Grace to come meet with our clients and be like, we've got the Attorney General here to meet with you, and Brian's gonna pretend to be the Attorney General. We would never
do that, but
it is. Everybody needs to ask Brian about his stories because it is absolutely hysterical.
Really, so there's some other lookalikes we have. We have Representative David Gregory and Flynn, and you might ask who Flynn is. And we are.
If you have a child under seven, you probably know.
It is Flynn from Tangled.
I didn't know that.
He does the smolder. And I don't know if Representative Gregory does the smolder.
He could do the smolder.
He should definitely try.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Have you seen Tangled?
No.
Oh.
Again, no child under seven. There's a grown adult that live in my house.
I don't either, but I've seen Tangled.
It's still a Disney movie I'm going to watch.
We also have Brendan Gleeson and Jared Taylor. Representative Jared Taylor. Brendan Gleeson was an actor.
Braveheart.
In the best movie ever made. Braveheart.
Where do you think you're going?
I've never seen Braveheart. Have you seen Braveheart?
Dang, that was
You've
pretty good.
You've never seen Braveheart?
I've never seen Braveheart.
I've never seen Braveheart either.
Freedom scene.
Every time it's on TNT, I watch it.
Important
so, one of my favorites is Sean Rhodes and Alex Kirchen.
Speaking of really good staffers, Alex Kirchen.
Speaking of really good staffers, Alex Kirchen. I never realized it until someone pointed it out, and then once you see something, you can't unsee it. And it's amazing, and especially when they're walking next to each other together, it's pretty fun.
My favorite one, because I wrote it, was, and this is a weird backstory, and no one cares about this story, but I forgot to wear my contacts.
It's your podcast, dang it, and you're going to say whatever you want.
I know, I'm going to say whatever I want, and you can turn me off, that's fine. In Representative Elijah Haar's office, there are two tall, blonde male staffers. And one day I wasn't wearing my contacts, and I just started talking to the intern, thinking it was Philip Barneson. And he wasn't. And I finally, blinked a few times and realized it wasn't Philip. And, backed away slowly into a bush, kind of like Bart Simpson.
So that was your
I didn't realize it wasn't Philip. Or Sean Spicer. And it's funny, because I've known Philip for probably, the better half of a decade. And didn't realize I wasn't talking about him. So that's my favorite doppelganger because it's just savage to have two people in one office that look that much alike.
Yeah.
They have a pretty similar haircut even.
And they're both men. They have that in common.
Aside from that.
I mean, come on. I think that's a stretch, but I'll roll. I'll support you on that.
So today we've learned I'm blind.
Okay, that's good to know.
Maybe you need a monocle.
There you go.
So, Plays Checkers, Dan Hegman.
Yes.
Let's go into that.
Okay.
Why do you think that's true?
He is from a district where whenever I think of Senator Hageman's district, I think of those idyllic, picturesque country farmhouses with the wraparound porches with the rocking chairs, like Cracker Barrel just threw up. And I feel that his porch that he probably has checkers, and that's got to be how he unwinds. He's got a great big family. It's a good way to bond with other family members.
So let me walk this back for a second. Because the way I read that was, you know the saying, they play checkers, not chess?
Yeah.
That's how I read that.
No.
And I think that's how everybody else read that. Would agree with you, yeah. But I think you totally misinterpreted that from my perspective. And I imagine everyone in politics would agree with me.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Play checkers, not chess is like...
Set in the
upper and lower chamber.
I apologize, and I don't do that often. But
I think you need to make a call tomorrow.
I literally
tomorrow. I need you to make a call.
Speaking of people on my call list, best ginger goatee, Senator Jason Holzman. Does anyone else in the Capitol have a ginger goatee?
Yeah, that was oddly specific.
Actually, would
you notice?
Well, right before then, it's best ginger beard, and that went to another superstar lobbyist, Jay Atkins.
Right.
Rip to Jay Atkins.
What?
He's not in the building anymore.
Oh.
What? Jay Atkins is done lobbying, and he's moving on to the tow truck companies, the Uber of tow truck companies, where... I can't remember the name, but he is moving on. He's leaving us in the dust. He's moving on to bigger and better, and he's still going to stay in Columbia, Missouri, I believe, and manage their national lobbying strategy.
That he could maintain a multi-week text conversation with me, and
he doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about any of us.
His life.
He was using us all, and now he's gone onto greener pastures.
What was that quote from Braveheart again, Ben?
Where do you think they're going?
Where do you think you're going?
Yeah. He's going.
Okay, I saw him like the Lucky Charms.
He's still going to be in Columbia.
Right, gotta get in there. Why do you think you're going? Why do you think you're going? To pick a fight.
Speaking of going places, most likely to be president in, what do we think?
Becky Loman.
2024,
is that it?
That's okay. Kind of his plan, I think.
Is it? Can we say that?
Can we say that?
I don't know. So Travis is leaving us.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
So I guess he can say whatever he wants.
I have a little bit more license, I guess, but...
Okay, well, here's another one. Someone told me I need to come up with a superlative for the Tic-Tac-No Award, and I might have also misinterpreted that.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I don't either, but I thought it was funny.
No.
Let's go ask the person who suggested it to clarify, because obviously we don't have a clue.
Becky, what do you think Tic-Tac-No is?
I think it means you shut it down. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Like, you think you're about, about to tic-tac, you're about to get a tic-tac-toe. No, is it tic-tac-no? Shutting you down. That's the way I read it.
So it's a tic-tac-no.
Yeah, right. Like, so a tic-tac-toe, you win. A tic-tac-no, you get crushed at the end.
Then I can deal with that.
Senator Rob Schaff was the recipient of that superlative award this year.
It seems fitting.
It is fitting. It is. You're right.
I mean, because how many bills got done? 80. I've heard varying numbers. 81.
Including budget.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how many of those do you think Senator Schaff can take credit? You know, how much credit do you think he gets to take for that? I would say a fair amount.
We talk about it at the Missouri Times a lot. Who do we give credit for the lowest amount of bills? We have the most amount of Republicans we've had in the legislature and executive offices.
Ever.
And somehow...
But isn't that what Republicans want? Is less laws?
Maybe this is a successful session.
From the perspective of the party of limited government, this is a success. Why would you be passing more laws? I think you could...
I've always found it very ironic to repeal a law. You must pass a law.
TNCs are a perfect example. To pass a law, we had less government there. We allowed the free market to work. So...
Bills were about was, like, whenever it came to labor reform or tort reform, that was
removing
about,
regulation.
Yeah, removing regulation. So I don't know if that fewer bills means less government argument.
But sometimes to voters, that message of just we passed less laws this year is the easiest way to explain things, right? The message of repealing regulation and it kind of get lost.
So we love taking things at face value.
Yes,
no, well, I think sometimes you have to be, it has to be simple and concise and easy for voters. We're all playing inside baseball over here, and I am very guilty of seeing things in the Capitol, especially with the last election. I realized how off base you can be when you think you see these people every day, so your opinion of them is exceptionally biased, and you have information that voters don't have. And I realized that in a big way this session. I think a lot of people did, or this last election.
There's two more superlatives I want to talk about before we go to five questions. One is the best bill of the year. The winner was Lindell Fraker's HB 833, which is tax breaks for country clubs, which I'm sure Representative Fraker just filed for the sake of discussion. Like so many bills are filed, just want to start that conversation. But there were some other bills that were actually very good. I'm sure Becky would say TNC, which in case you missed it, is Transportation Networking Company.
In case you guys missed it, that's Uber and Lyft operating statewide. No, I mean, obviously that's my vote. It's been a labor of love for me and a passion project. I've gotten to work with Dentons and Representative Matthews, and Speaker Richardson was a leader on this issue, Senator Bob Onder, and all of their staff. I think that was a huge bill. It was a perfect example of removing government regulation to allow the free market to work and create jobs. I think that was a slam dunk and a home run every which way you look at it.
I will say, I am oddly excited about this special session because you said the word passion project. And the story that I have personally given a lot of coverage to against Ben's will is SB 302, which turned into an amendment, which turned into special session. So I'm excited about this. I love utilities. I love utilities law. It is a table leg of the coverage that I hope to continue to provide all of our readers, especially our subscribers, because that's something that a lot of newspapers can't do and can't do right. And I'm very proud to be able to provide good information about what is going on in utility law, because that truly affects every person in this state. Every person out here on this secret clubhouse deck where we are reporting from today. Do either of you gentlemen have a favorite bill that you reported on this year?
Yeah, I think this, it didn't get through the Senate at all, I don't think, but I think I haven't seen better debate on a bill this year than when the charter school bill came up in the House, Rebecca Raber's charter school bill, where Speaker Richardson himself got off the dais and offered an amendment onto it to essentially fix the bill. And the details are a little hazy because this happened a couple of months ago, but I just remember the quality of debate on bill
being stellar debate.
Incredibly good.
There was a very large constituent contact and activism campaign with that.
Yeah. And the final bill itself ended at a spot where ideologically you knew that there were going to be people opposed and supporting it, but for a system that is, you know, controversial and the impact of it is widespread, you know, it's affecting our kids and our education system, I think that it was a very well-written bill that took into consideration a lot of the concerns that people had. And I'm saying that one mainly because Becky already said the Uber bill and the TNC bill.
Everyone here knows it's a unanimous favorite.
Yeah. It was a big favorite, but I really think that the quality of debate that we saw that night whenever that bill was passed through the House was just A+. High rating.
And for a reporter, your perspective has to be a little, you know, obviously lobbyists have skin in the game. And, and
you wouldn't believe the amount of emails we get.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's fun to see everybody's different take, whether you get to debate the issue on the floor, whether you get to write about said debate, or whether you get to lobby people on an issue.
Looking at other newspapers, like, calling the shots of what gets coverage and what doesn't. Like, how arrogant some media is to give some bills coverage and some not. And, you know, that's something I love about the Missouri Times, is we don't derive our coverage ourselves. We do not decide what's important. We talk to our subscribers. We talk to our readers. We talk to the stakeholders. And they tell us what's going to be important. They tell us what's going to pass, and we give it coverage. Because that's truly what you need to know.
And, you know, not to kiss any butt around here, but what I love about the Missouri Times is it is inside baseball for people that really know the personalities and know the issues, and we're watching it live to see your perspective as reporters and other people's perspective that you've interviewed. I think it's a unique one and something that people in the building and the inside baseball players love to read.
As an aside, before I asked Ben what his favorite bill was, I thought of former Speaker Rod Jetton. He will be leaving us and going to Greece, and we wrote a feature about this because people still ask about Rod. They want to know what's going on with him. People love to know where are they now, not to kick a dead horse whenever it comes to VH1. But people love that, and I think it's so funny with social media. There are tons of people who read our paper who aren't subscribers. They're consumers. They're voters, and it confuses them. And I will get these emails, and it's just so funny because
they're like, "How is this relevant right now?"
Exactly. And
But yeah, to all these, yeah, all these politicos, it is relevant.
It is relevant, and I just
the work they've done. You know, it's historical work, and it matters.
You've seen the changes of every single speaker. Every
so I wasn't there when Ron Jeton was here, but I have heard his name over and over, and things that he has done, and what happened under his
tenure.
Yeah.
But yeah, great. He's a great person to call any day these days, and I'm very happy for him to be pursuing his dreams. Like, that's cool. That's good for him. Ben, what was your favorite bill? You've had like 10 minutes to think about this. You knew
I
was coming.
Can I go like a three-way tie?
Oh, okay. You've got 30 seconds.
All right, I'm gonna say Real ID was a good one because
I love it.
I love debate. I love covering it.
And to all you listeners, Ben like fought with me to give Real ID more coverage.
Yeah. It wasn't a fight. I was gonna win that one from the get-go.
And I'm timing you. You're on 7 seconds.
And then the budget bills, just because I love the budget.
Okay.
And my big winner, I think, is HCB3 because I thought that the debate on that was just. Yeah. Absolutely stellar on both sides. I thought everyone was fighting to get something done that everyone thought would do something good. And watching the Senate finally come about and work that into... It was just a nice moment where the Senate had been dealing with this infighting for weeks.
Yeah.
And then to see everyone finally come together and realize that they can work together and get something done. And finally pass that... And then just to see the reaction on Senator Walsh's face at the last press conference whenever I told her that bill passed, that for me was a pretty phenomenal moment.
I will say, if I can give two superlatives, hashtag Millage Podcast superlatives. Travis, in addition to his superlative of most likely to cry at a president's
I don't know if cry is the right word. I think more just like have my jaw drop.
Chuck, there you go.
I was with you on election night. Remember that.
Yeah.
But if I could...
I didn't cry that night.
Okay.
That's
okay.
There was definitely emotions, though.
I didn't sleep.
There you go.
I didn't cry either.
Travis has a lot of feelings, which is why if I had to give hashtag Millage Podcast superlatives to the people sitting around me today, I would give Travis the most likely to care about normal people.
That's a great superlative.
Thank you.
Can we just rename it? Travis has the heart. Travis
has
the heart.
He has a little bit of heart.
Oh,
and, you know, Ben, I would say he's the best reporter up in that gallery when it comes to the budget. That's something I've always thought would be cool to care about. I've never had time to really dig in the way Ben has had, and I truly appreciate his coverage. And Becky has truly, she has been the best lobbyist when it comes to...
Co-host of the year,
obviously. But she's done an amazing job at being steadfast. I keep thinking about that song from Pocahontas, and that's weird. She's like a river. Right. She's like a river. Anyway, the last superlative I want to talk about, because I did not write this, I just put it in there because I thought it was funny, because I like a good rhyme as much as I like a good pun, is tackle of the year, quote-unquote, mean... Jean Evans. She is a freshman state rep, and I don't know what this meant.
So I submitted it. I will own it. So at the legislative softball tournament, Jean is a former volleyball coach, she still plays volleyball. She's a very competitive athlete and a person. And I think she was running to tag her base. And whoever was catcher for that base was trying to slide in and probably was a little inexperienced. And so... sort of stood in front of the base, and Jean just went right at them.
She demolished.
Went right at them.
Did this person turn to dust?
So Jean took that person out. I got her base, and you know she's competitive, and she wasn't gonna shy away from a little bit of contact. And I heard the other person may have cried. And so then Mean Jean Evans came out. But she's a good sport about it, and she was very sorry. Not sorry that she got the base, but sorry that she hurt somebody. But so that's where the name comes from.
That was
and
a literal one. Literally.
Yeah, that was a literal. Everybody that knows me knows the respect and admiration I have for Representative Evans. So I will say that she does not have a mean bone in her body, but she is definitely competitive, and I would not get in her way. Scoring a point or passing a bill or whatever she wants to do, I would not want to be the hurdle that she has to cross.
She's a representative I'm looking forward to continuing to follow in the legislature. She's a freshman.
She's a mover and shaker.
Where she goes, what she does.
Is that something we should talk about, though? Is just how stellar
this freshman class is
great. It's a really stellar freshman class.
Agreed. On both sides of the aisle.
Yes. Passionate and they're resourceful.
Yeah. And the Democratic Party is small, but seeing those freshmen come together, Representative Meredith, Representative Crystal Quaid, Representative Bruce Franks. Yeah. I mean, you see them really come together, and I feel like considering the huge hill they had to climb this session, they have to go home and feel feel good about what happened out there.
Yeah. Now, Ben, I have a question for you.
On both sides, absolutely.
I am aware of several dozens upon dozens, and I know how many listeners we have on this podcast, but there are dozens upon dozens who choose to listen to our podcast from the drive from Columbia or Jeff City to St. Louis. How much longer do we need to talk to get them through? How much time?
I'm going to answer honestly. We have currently been on about 44 minutes.
This is where we wrap it up.
This is a prime time special.
If you want to drop off, guys, that's on you. You're missing out.
Yes. And so we have 5 questions. Actually, I have a bonus question because, you know.
Let's rapid fire these.
Yes. First question, Becky, what's the most rewarding part of your job?
Getting to do things that changes people's lives that I care about. Getting to see my friends use Uber when they've been drinking. Getting to see people use Uber when they need money to pay their bills. That's the most rewarding thing.
Travis, your boss is sitting right next to you. What is the most rewarding part of your job?
And not just because my boss is sitting right next to me, but definitely the people that I work with. I'm going to be leaving soon, but I've learned so much the last 2 years, and it's because of great leadership from managing editor Rachel Herndon Dunn and from publisher Scott.
Black Panther.
Just a little bit, but and then we've got a great reporter in Ben Peters who's going to do great things at Capitol for a long time.
Ben, what is the most rewarding part of your job?
Covering budget.
That's a good answer.
Savage after that.
Well, I had to go quick, right?
If you're curious what the most rewarding part of my job is, it's the people I get to talk to every day. Because I have this weakness, and I've learned this since I got my son. He's 7 years old, and I am not a children's person. I am not good at talking to normal people. And I am so blessed that I get to talk to people who are in the game all the time.
Also not normal?
Yep, normal people.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say that.
Second question, Becky, what most prepared you to work in that building over yonder?
Playing sports growing up. I feel like I feel like you have to have a competitive fire. You have to like working with a team. You have to be able to take criticism, and you have to have a really thick skin, and just be a happy warrior every day. You have to be happy to go fight for what you want.
Happy warrior, I love that.
Yep.
Travis.
Probably, honestly, my internship at KMLX in the summer of, I guess that was 2011.
69.
Yeah. John Butler was one of my editors there, and he was very tough. He was very demanding, and I feel like the Capitol, you have to be able to respond to that kind of atmosphere, one that's very demanding. So I think that job helped me a lot with this.
Benjamin, what prepared you most to work at this building?
Travis Zimfer, Scott Fawn, and Rachel Herndon Dunn. That's a pretty easy and obvious answer. I don't think that I would have been able to accomplish the things that I did this year without them encouraging me, and then obviously Travis putting up with bullshit every night. So that's,
can we say that?
We did.
It's a podcast.
I don't really like the FTC does not regulate us. We're in a regulatory gray area, which I'm very familiar with my clients.
On this one, we're clear because that one has been used on television, so we're good on.
Oh, I've heard too. Like
we can do a line.
Yeah. Okay, listen.
In case you all are curious,
what is yours? Yeah, let's put yours.
What most prepared me for my work at the Capitol was Andy Blunt. My first political job was working for the Blunt campaign. I've got some flack for this because I was political before I came here, and it was important to me to understand truly how things work and not just be an observer. I worked on the Roy Blunt for U.S. Senate campaign in 2010, and Andy Blunt was obviously the campaign manager, and he runs a tight ship, and I really wanted to impress that man. So I was on the phones all the time. I'd never been on the phones. I never had to be in a position where I talk to people from all walks of life. That's not something that ever appealed to me. And I did that just because I wanted to break a record on making the most phone calls And that prepared me for the Capitol, because to this day, I still have to call city administrators down in New Madrid and hear about what's going on with them, how a bill is truly affecting their lives. I have to call people up, and I have to call dairy farmers up in Northwest Missouri to hear what's going on, hear what's going on with their bills. If I had not busted my chops to try to impress Annie Blunt, who is a superstar, absolute superstar in every way, shape, or form when it comes to policy, I would not have been able to call people and be cool about it the way I truly try to be on a daily basis. Becky, third question. What is your favorite social media outlet?
Twitter.
Really?
100% Twitter.
I thought it would be Instagram.
I do love it. I do love Instagram. But Twitter, I like that. I like that you can't say that much. You have to be very concise, and it's less frustrating than the other social media sites. Yeah, you got to get to the point. Yeah, and you have to be smart to get to the point. It takes work to be good at Twitter. Jeff Major, case in point.
Yes. Yeah. Remy is the soul of
Wit. Right here.
Pat. Yes.
Army is supposed to be good on Twitter. Someone made the point the other day that a president can resign from office in 140 characters or less. Travis, what is your favorite social media outlet?
Honestly, this is going to make me seem basic, but I like Facebook. I like the Messenger feature. I like...
he really does, guys.
I do.
Really,
I use it a lot.
It used to drive me crazy, actually. I'd be like, how dare you ask me about an article?
You and moms everywhere.
But you were on, like, the green dots next to your name.
I have a cell phone.
Wait, is that a
thing? Yeah, I would text you.
I prefer doing the chat on Facebook.
Yeah. No. Okay, fine, guys. We'll do
no,
it.
I'm
what's your favorite social media?
Oh, I don't.
You don't social media?
I really hate social media. I take part in it.
I feel like you're a retweeter, and that's like really all
that.
Yeah,
he's a retweeter.
Okay.
What's yours?
I don't have accounts, but I like Pinterest.
No,
that doesn't.
No. If Pinterest counts, Reddit counts, but yeah. Reddit doesn't
okay.
count.
No, that's like a...
Account?
No!
Okay.
Do you know what social media is?
Do you notice that she's picked things where there's not really a social aspect?
Right. See, I don't have to talk to people.
Exactly. Then I like Twitter. Facebook has really became this weird environment where people that add me on there... Facebook is where I put pictures of my kids.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Whenever I have readers from BFE at me specifically, I say no. Like, that's where I have my family. That's where I have my friends that I've known since I've been six. Like, that's
it's a little more personal.
Yeah, that's
I know a lot of politicos that say no politics on Facebook. No politics on Facebook.
Yeah, it doesn't belong there, and those people get unfollowed really quickly. Thank God for that feature these days. But Twitter is great because you can say your random thoughts. People think they're funny. Because the most random...
And we all give each other, like, easy likes. Like, I'll like anything you post, and you get to feel good about yourself. You're funny.
It's very nonchalant, non-committal. Facebook, I mean, there's a thankful button that Travis himself got removed, but...
Yeah,
whatever.
I did that. That's me. All me.
Okay.
Question four.
Becky, what is your favorite interim activity?
Favorite interim activity?
Lobbying in D.C.
Oh, I was going to say lobbying in D.C. No, I think reading is one of my favorite things. I don't, like, during session, I don't get to read anything other than what you guys are writing and political stuff. And while I think it's great writing, getting to kind of think outside of politics for a second just makes you better at your job and gives more context for the world around me.
Travis, favorite interim activity?
Oh, man. I would say cooking is up there. I love cooking.
Oh,
I love trying out new recipes and doing new and different things and all that kind of stuff. So.
Oh! We just smoked a bit. So it's starting to rain.
So my head just lost a fight there.
I tried to protect Ben's computer with my computer because that makes sense.
So we're going to...
Favorite interim activity?
Fishing.
My favorite interim activity is sleeping.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I do like to sleep. If you won the Missouri lottery, Becky, what would you spend it on?
What would I spend it on?
Because last week we got shenanigan answers like, I'd save it.
You know what? I wouldn't spend it on anything. I would, I would coach girls high school basketball where I didn't need an income.
That's what chill and, like,
I would coach girls, and then I would just show up here and just like lobby for passion projects, like things that I love to do, which really is most of my clients anyway.
Travis, what would you spend the lottery on?
Oh man, I'd probably pay my first month's rent for whenever I move to Colorado, because that's what prices are kind of looking like.
$5 million.
Yeah.
No, I know Colorado is kind of in demand because of deregulation.
Yeah.
Ben,
I would pay off all of my student loans and then all my family's stuff. And then I'd buy a house with a lake.
With a lake or at the lake?
Can we do our podcast
with
there?
With a lake. I don't want to live at the lake.
Can we do our podcast there?
Yeah.
Due to that dry answer, the rain just stopped. I would buy something like really stupid.
Lamborghinis? Guys.
No, no, no. See, Richard McIntosh, he's this lobbyist over at Plotron and McIntosh. He convinced me that Ferraris are better than Lamborghinis. So I would buy a Porsche. Obviously, it's got an air-cooled, twin-cooled system or something. Sounds good.
I like that you had two options there, and you went with a completely other
exactly.
option.
Exactly. I like to surprise.
There's a bonus question, wasn't
there? There is a bonus question, and it's because I learned the other day, and I put it in the Whispering Gallery email, that all of our subscribers get Star Trek or Star Wars? Becky Lohman.
Neither.
What would you choose? If you had to choose a sci-fi, fantasy, literary...
Star Wars. Star Wars is the less nerdy one, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
Star Trek is the nerdy one. I'll go Star Wars.
Star Wars, man. They've got lightsabers and Jedi and stuff.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking. Yeah.
I want a lightsaber, but Captain Picard wins at everything.
Oh, no,
yeah. I would choose Lord of the Rings, just to make
it
clear.
No, that is not no. No!
I'm over.
Done.
Goodbye. You ruined it.
Well, I would like to thank all of our listeners. This has been a very, very special, dysfunctional Mid-Ledge podcast. I'm so glad you're listening. I'm so glad we have our awesome sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. We wouldn't be here without you, obviously. Until next week, whenever we talk about special session, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Well, that got...